Show is based out of actually really wonderful neighborhood. Eva has been here for, oh, Dalva has been here for a minute. Their kiddo, Little Eye, is being raised in three languages and a lot of music. Actually, what three languages is it?
Catalan, yes. Spanish, and English.
And could you explain the difference between Catalan and Spanish?
Thank you, because I was 2 seconds away from asking. So, Catalan is as different to Spanish as French, Italian, Portuguese, Romanian, and any other Latin language are from each other. So they have the root, which is Latin, and then each of them have branched off, you know, probably combined with a local language of the region. In the case of Spanish, there's more, there's definitely a lot of Arabic in Spanish because they were under the Arab Empire for 800 years. But I'd say the closest language to Catalan, I think, is Italian, probably.
You've said that to me before, and it would make sense because whenever I hear someone speaking in Catalan, I'm like, I have no idea what's happening here.
I mean, for me,
not a clue.
when I went to Italy and I backpacked on my own and I tried out speaking Catalan with an Argentinian accent, everyone understood me.
I remember you saying that. It's like you all understood each other.
Yeah, because all these Italians immigrated to Argentina, so that's why in Argentina they're like, che boludo, pero pa, habla así. It's like,
Mario in Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I was babysitting for Little Eye once, and I picked out a book, and I was like, oh, okay, this is Spanish. It was not.
It was not.
I was like, I do not know what these words are. I do not know how to say this. There's, like, X's. What is happening? This is not any familiar. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to read this, because neither one of us know what's happening. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
You know, just make the sounds, show the pictures. All that's needed.
Yeah, exactly. It was about engaging with the eye more so than, you know, my ability to actually read
with
the language.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I feel like it is with, our kid is learning Irish as well as English.
I was gonna ask. So currently, how's that going? Like, are you already speaking with her in Gaelic? Is it?
Yeah.
Gaelic?
Definitely. I say like little things like, you know, good morning, Matima, or hi, Diogwich, you know, how are you? Like Karata, you know, Konasatatu, you know, like, would you say, like, Karata Uit, you know, like, or are you hungry? Ta'ukrasort, you know?
That's amazing.
So,
do children at Wolf's age demonstrate, like, comprehension already of language?
I don't think it's comprehension, more so it's, like, hearing what you're saying and seeing your lips move and, like, how it's supposed to be said, that's more important, you know, in the context, right? Like, if I could say, like, I'm so angry, and I give in an angry voice, and it makes them upset, but then I could be like, I'm so angry, and I'm smiling, and it makes, like, them happy.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, context, but it's hearing language, you know, over and over and over again, that's more helpful, and then, you know, once they start, like, speaking, then it's, you know, but it takes a little while. Yeah,
I mean, that makes sense. A lot of times in language in general, the things that are understood come more from body language than they do your actual words. So it makes sense that the body language would be immediately learned. Survival, baby, survival.
Yeah. But it's super funny because there's an Irish language channel like that's in Ireland, and then we have the app. For us, and if I just need like 5 minutes, right? Like, I'm like, okay, I gotta use the restroom. We don't do like a lot of screen time, it's very, very minimal. But I'm like, okay, well, we'll put on like an Irish language thing. And now I've learned how to say head, shoulders, knees, and toes in Irish, right? Because it's hard. Okay, kill, goolin, gooses, cuss. Kill, goolin, gooses, cuss. I'm like learning as well, so I'm like, okay, I'll put it on. We're both excited, we're both engaged.
Oh my god,
you know?
You're pretty funny. You're making me remember a really funny time where one of Eli's grandmothers was like visiting, and one of Eli's queer aunties was also at the house. And the queer aunties like very proudly uses the word faggot with a lot of pride.
Sure.
And so...
reclamation of the word.
Exactly. And so the queer auntie overheard the grandma reading a story in Catalan, and it was about firefighters. Mm-hmm. And he just heard her, and she just kept saying... al foc, y arriba los bombes, y apagan al foc, y al foc, y al foc, y al foc. And he was like, I thought I was going to teach little I that word. And it turns out that foc means fire.
Yes, that makes sense. That makes sense. There's a couple of Irish words are like that. I can't think of them off the top of my head right now, but it's really fucking funny, where you're just like, what is that actually supposed to mean?
What you just used for head, was it kill? It sounds like kill.
Yeah, it's C-E-A-L. It's like, so it's kill. But I mean, that's like the E, that's like one of the easier words. Like, a lot of that language is so crazy. I mean, it is wild to me that, like, the part of the issue with the Irish language, and we're getting off topic, part of the issue with the Irish language is that it's missing a lot of letters, so it combines letters to make sounds. You know, like D, and H, just like a V. D-B-H. Yeah, M-H is a V sound. It's trash. Great language, but it is hard as hell. It is very hard. Hardest language I've ever tried to learn.
I just remember when we were in Dublin, and the buses, they say in the thing again. They say, like, the stop, they gave it first, and then they say it in English. Yeah. I was like, what are these letters? What is this? How is this the same thing?
A lot of the times when I'm saying stuff, it's like my mouth feels like it shouldn't move this way. Which actually is one of the biggest things of language learning.
Yeah.
Is that how you learn, like, what nationality you are and what is your first language can kind of dictate the muscles in your mouth.
Yeah.
And makes it either easier or harder to, like, learn other languages where your mouth moves much differently than you're supposed, than it, quote-unquote, supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating. Language learning has always been, like...
I heard learning Arabic is, like, really hard.
I can imagine.
It's more with your throat, right, that you're really talking.
I think one of the hardest things... From what I understand, one of the hardest things about it is that when you're learning classic Arabic, you're learning how to read and write, but then you need to learn, like, an actual verbal Arabic, and they're all different, so it's like, they call it all Arabic, but actually it's like, if I go to France and I learn French, and then I move to Portugal, and it's like another language. Because that's the same thing if you learn Arabic in, you know, Algeria, and then you're like, I learned Arabic, and then you go to Egypt, or you go to Lebanon, like, you do not actually understand anyone, or know how to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
So you're like, I put all that work into this.
Another really hard language, and then we'll move on, is Vietnamese. So there's a big, there's like a huge little Saigon in Houston, which is, people who don't know, this is where Dee Fantastic is from. So we have a lot of Vietnamese people there. And I've talked to many different Vietnamese people about the language. I've always found really fascinating, is that, like, the inflection of a letter can make a totally different word. So, like, that makes it very, very difficult of how you say an A, you know, like an A sound can have, like, five different types of inflections and length and, like, strength to it. And I'm like, nah, bro. I don't got it.
No, I barely have a handle on English. Like,
I know. We know.
Every day is a struggle for me out here.
It is, yeah.
I don't know why these people pay me to facilitate.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Black on Black on Black, we like to start off our segment before we get into some music with a Would You Rather. So, in the theme of our episode of Mother Dearest, I have a great Would You Rather that I'd like to ask, which is, would you rather live in a world where males are the one who experience pregnancy, like that is what they do, or would you rather live in a world where females are typically, like, physically stronger than males, naturally?
I mean, it's complicated because there's a couple considerations in here, right?
Of course, yeah.
You think about it in terms of how would that change people who identify as women's, like, quality of life.
Yeah.
And then there's other parts about how is that going to dictate or change, like, the way in which the world structures itself, right? Because policy is going to be different, how we interact with things, and, like, we're gonna build a different society.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to think which one would have the best outcome for us.
Yeah.
Which one? I feel like I would like to live in a world where males got pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like I think there would be a lot of empathy that would come from men experiencing having their bodies go through that type of change.
Sure.
And also have that experience. I think we're definitely going to now have, like, a very strong gender autonomy from that, right? There's not going to be more of this, like, you can't get an abortion.
Oh, right. Sure, yeah.
It would be the fastest drama ever.
We wouldn't be worrying about that at all.
Yeah, but still, the men would still be in power, right? Men would still be in power.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think if it was the other way around.
Historically, if pregnancy has led itself to the hindrance of advancements of female body people, because it's like, you know, the heteronormativity of child rearing falling on them, like, would that mean that males typically would be still in charge still?
I don't know. I think patriarchy doesn't go away if men are the ones who get pregnant. And I think they would structure it where they would still be able to work. And somehow it would still be expected for the other person to take care of the child. Or there would be incredible access to daycare and nannies immediately.
You don't think that we might end up in a matriarchy only because some of the main theories behind what has developed the patriarchy was the need for the resource, which is resource to access to the womb for the carrying of your child, right?
I think that was patriarchy's justification for itself. I don't think that's an actual reason. Mm-hmm. And so I think the narrative would just change in that, like, since patriarchy is now giving life, matriarchy really needs to be at home.
Taking care of the kids. So which one are you choosing?
I think I would rather have it that men got pregnant. I think it would go a long ways in changing a lot of different policies in terms of that would benefit people in that in which it would greatly strengthen the child or how children are raised. I think there would be way more resources available. I think we would have way more policies in which people have their own autonomy of their bodies. Birth control about to go up, baby.
Birth control
about to go up.
Yeah.
And we will benefit from that. You know? And so I just think there's a lot of societal benefit that will come. Not to say that if women were stronger, there wouldn't be, but I don't know if that's going to actually, I don't know if it's just going to switch that women are going to become, like, show the same toxicness that men show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ava?
So, could it be that that cis men get pregnant as well as women? And
we would be giving that up entirely. Yeah.
Would it be like suddenly there's a change, or we're just like imagining that all along?
Yeah.
I just don't feel like I can even fathom it, because it feels like every single reason that we have the kinds of inequities and the kinds of conclusions that have been created and how to organize our society feel completely connected to, like, actually women do have more strength than men in many ways that are unrecognized.
Yeah.
And so it's 100%. Like, sure, they might not be able to lift as heavy as an object, but, like, men are going to be way more wimpy about a little cut on their finger.
Always. Or a cold, you know, or just
anything. And the multitasking ability just sucks. Their multitasking ability sucks.
Which one are... I would say because we're already stronger, we also just are stronger.
Okay.
And so, and then we get to just, like, not take their bullshit. It's just like, we carry the miracle of life, which is a gift I'm not willing to give anybody else except people who have it. You know, it's a privilege and a curse, and it's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
But the things that people do to take advantage of us in that way would be gone because we could beat their ass.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I am in the same lane with Ava. Like, I definitely would be, I would prefer us to just be stronger.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly, if they got the gift of life as well, all I could see is absolute ruin for women.
Why ruin?
Just, like, I think that they'd be like, really, then what the hell are you here for? Like,
I mean, they would be so narcissistic.
They would be, it would be crazy. Like, I'm honestly just like, I couldn't imagine that. I just feel like they would be like, wow, so now we've got this. I feel like they go crazy.
What are you good for now?
I think they would become women.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like, in some way, I feel like once you have to bleed every month, you have to go through all, I don't know, like, I feel like it's one of the things that makes you.
I think there will be some change in chemistry. They will have some change in chemistry.
For sure. And I think I'm like, yeah, it's fun. It's fun to think about. But I do like the idea of, like, you know, would we have the same fears of walking home alone at night if we were just physically stronger? Yeah. You're physically stronger, and like I have the gift of life. I'm like, yeah.
Could you imagine a pregnant man trying to attack you in the middle of the night?
Be like, get out
of your mind, bitch.
Crazy, bro.
Better go on before this become a double homicide.
Yeah, like, are you joking right now?
I am gonna jump in to normalize our trans men who are pregnant.
Of course.
Because, yeah. No, they are out there, and I know that y'all are folks who would be very supportive of that, but they do get a lot of hate. And yeah. Because there are a lot of people that feel that entitlement that I just described, I feel. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said it in a, like, a humorous way, but there are women out there that feel that in a turfy way.
Yeah.
Where, oh,
yeah.
Hey, you don't get to do this. And it's like, yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They have a uterus. They can do it.
And you get to do whatever you want to do with your body.
Your body.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think that's a great segue to continuing on with our segment. Today, we're calling this Mother Dearest, and this first song is actually by one of my favorite Houston rappers called Maxo Cream, and it is called
Natural Is Everything Around Me.
That's not it at all.
I know.
It's Mama's Purse by Maxo Cream.
Yeah. Get in the bag.
Jordan's feeling top dollar, Fendi, Gucci, Balenciaga. Ever since I made some figures, I've been splurging on my mama. That's the motherfucking problem. It don't help her, what a drama. I know my brother in a hearse, and he just gave his daughter purple. Got a face and see the hurt. All her Alexis diamond necklace in my ass and got a purse. I was trying to buy her love, but I really made it worse. Put a price tag on her lover, can't afford how much it's worth. Still remember early mornings for them Jordans stealing out my mama purse. For what it's worth, that shit only made it worse. Every since a little nigga, mama tried to piss and keep us fresh. For a platinum football middle school, rockin' with Mitchell Nessa. When she got it, my guess was finesse. I really never knew that she was shoutin' and did it the best. My aunties did it too. See, Maces ain't like the shotgun, cause she was always shakin' them. Cutting them sisters with scissors, switching the price tag on denim. And she still with her sisters, on point and accurate. Used to go home and practice. They so cool, ain't no catching in. Ever since I could remember, I've been popping my collar. Jordan's feeling top collar, Fendi, Gucci, Balenciaga. Ever since I made some figures, I've been splurging on my mama. That's the motherfucking problem. It don't help her, what a drama. I know my brother in a hearse, and he just gave his daughter purple. Get her face and see the hurt. All her Alexis diamond necklace in Balenciaga. I got a purse. I was trying to buy her love, but I really made it worse. Put up my tag on her lover, can't afford how much it's worth. I still remember Uncle Maine stealing change from the offering at the church. look past it cause they love me. See a parent prostitute with me. I see a happy couple selling ass for their cash. They think it's a honest hustle. You see them privileges in blue. Back in twos and told it rules. We in blood, but I call them guns. They may find them scuba, call them thugs. You see Jack the shooters. Me, I see my brother. I love for shoplifting boosters cause they used to be my mother. Credit fraud, judge scamming. Fuck the cops and free my daddy. I could take out mug shots and make a portrait of the family. Ever since I could remember, I've been popping my collar. Jordan spending top dollar. 50 Gucci, Lindsay. And ever since I made some figures, I've been splurging on my mama. That's the motherfucking problem. It don't help but what a drama. I knew my brother in the hearse and he just gave his daughter birth. Look at her face and see the hurt. Bought her a Lexus diamond necklace and put this in Chicago purse. I was trying to buy her love, but I really made it worse. Put a price tag on her love, but can't afford how much it's worth.
Yes. You ought to be home with your mom. How old are you, boy?
13.
Damn. The best is running out of niggas to arrest.
Let's go, child. Show us families that went through the struggle.
Cereal box.
show the young brother love. I moved on, started really hanging. I needed money on my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. Love paying rent with the friends too. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone, cause you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was giving. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand.
Absolutely not how this works.
went to the hospital once.
I remember that.
Because it was coming up in my sleep, and so I would like, you know, you're breathing in your sleep, and so it was coming up, and I just like inhaled it, and then you're choking, and because you're choking, you're coughing, but because you don't have a lot of room in your organs for anything, when you cough, you throw up. So I can't breathe, I'm coughing, I'm throwing up, it's terrible. We went to the ER, because it was just like,
this is during pregnancy, right?
It was during pregnancy, yeah. It was absolutely terrible, and so I pretty much toward from the middle to the end of my pregnancy, I was sleeping like at an 80-degree angle to like, you know, try to keep the indigestion down, popping Pepcid and Mylanta, like my life depended on it, because it did. And of course the people were like, oh, you know, your baby should have a lot of hair because you had indigestion. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. And of course, yes, she didn't have hair.
Yeah. Moldy melon.
Yeah, that's my nickname for my child. I do call her a moldy melon because she's got a hairy head. It's kind of patchy. You know, it's moldy. It's like a little moldy melon.
The cutest little moldy melon.
The cutest little moldy melon in the world.
You would absolutely give like a ridiculous nickname like that.
Because melons are adorable.
It's moldy.
She's looking at me right now like, bro.
Like, I know you're talking to shit.
Yeah. 110%. So that was one of the myths that I heard. What about you?
I think that the myth that I experienced personally was like, people don't treat you like you're pregnant till you look pregnant.
Yeah.
But the hardest part of the pregnancy is when you don't look pregnant.
Yes.
And so it's like, I personally went through a journey where I didn't keep it private because I had been on a multi-year journey of being a queer person who's choosing to be a parent, choosing to get pregnant. So it wasn't like, there's a lot of folks who at the first trimester, they actually, you know, don't even share because there might be, most people don't share. You know, you never know if you're going to have a miscarriage and you'd rather wait for the genetic test or something, you know. And because that was not my case, I was really shocked about that. I was like, how do people not talk about what's going on?
Oh,
it's the hardest part of the pregnancy.
Horrible.
And I mean, I felt like I was possessed. There was like this demon that possessed me. And I was like feeling nauseous all the time. All the foods, like the smells, like getting on a public bus, I maybe would throw up.
Getting on BART.
Anything, all the time. And then just like this really intense state of transformation because your brain completely transforms. You go through this process that is going to be a lifelong process of change. And it's happening most intensely in that moment where you're completely invisible in it. And everyone is acting like you're supposed to act normal. You're supposed to work. You're supposed to laugh at jokes. I'm just like,
Meanwhile, the body is in complete chaos.
I totally feel you. My first trimester, I mean, I'm already a tired person in general. It's just, but I felt like someone just, like, shot me in the back. It was just like, bitch, sleep. Like, I was sleeping, like, 16, 18 hours. Like, I was sleeping overnight, and then as soon as work was out, I was like, I'm gone. I was sleeping for, like, 4 hours. And then you can't say anything. You're trying not to explain it. You know, but looking back now, I think, you know, for the next kids, I fully intend on telling, like, at least the closer people that I'm pregnant earlier because it explains so much shit, you know. You're like, why are you not going out? Why aren't you doing whatever? And I was like, oh, I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, Devon, you're always tired. Like, why are you not, like, yourself, right?
Yeah, bro, do me a favor because you know y'all do not understand. Y'all do not understand what I went through because Dee decided that she really wanted to sit on this and not tell people, but she was still going out.
Yeah.
And not only was she still going out, people would buy her shots and she was accepting them, and what she would do is she would give them to me. So I was dying out here.
Do not complain. You love that shit.
No. I love it when I choose to, when I have to quickly chug her drink down so they don't see. It wasn't even like she didn't want it to even be noticeable that she didn't drink it. Because she didn't want no questions to be asked.
Yeah.
So it would be like, they had to turn around and I'd go,
put it right there. Thanks. Oh, my God.
I was so relieved for the both of us when you told everybody. I was like, I'm about to die out here.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely, looking back, I'm like, I really don't, it, like, the first trimester was so hard, and really, people just don't, I have way more energy in my third trimester than I did in my first trimester. And yeah, things are harder, you know, but the second trimester is great.
The second trimester is, this is a myth that's not a myth, it's
true. I was going to ask, is that
the golden trimester is true, but it's weird, because it's when you might, depending on the person, you might start looking pregnant, and so then suddenly, after no one acknowledged, even though I was very public about it, but it was very hard to let people know what was needed at that time. It was weird, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, suddenly, you see the belly, and they're like, oh, you need help.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm fine. I feel great.
I've been
better than ever.
Yeah, I've been fine for a while, so, yeah. You know, I do, that is a great point, that people don't really treat you pregnant until, unless they either really, really know you, or they themselves have experienced pregnancy, or they have kids, so they kind of have some idea, but yeah, people are just kind of like, eh, and then all of a sudden you got a belly, and it's like, whoa, don't lift that pencil, and I'm like,
I got it. I've been doing this for 8 months.
Yeah.
How soon did your pets know? I know there's like a whole thing that cats will come and sit on it. This will come and sit on you.
The cat was harassing me, and the cat is actually one of the main reasons why Shane insisted on me getting a pregnancy test, because she was just like all over me, just following me everywhere, and I didn't want to believe it. I was like, yeah, get out of here! Like, I'm not pregnant. Like, what are you talking about? My husband was very much so like, yo, like, do a test. The cat will not leave you alone. I was like, but she's always like that. My cat is always like that. No, I was very pregnant.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, I've been throwing up randomly for like 3 weeks before then, so.
D was like, nah.
I mean, you know, I drink, so I don't know. I was like, maybe I'm just hungover. I don't know, you know, like 3 weeks. Yeah, I mean, because I found that I was pregnant in January, but I had been pregnant for weeks. So I went to Texas for Christmas and everything, was drinking, having a blast, you know. And I remember there's one time, I mean, my parents were, me and my family were going to a bowling alley. And so I'm in the car, and it's cold in Texas. But I was like, I told my parents, like, roll the window down, it's just hot. And they were like, are you good? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. But I was like, oh, man, my heart must have blown up. And then we roll into the parking lot, and literally my parents can't even park yet. I'm like, stop the car. I open the door and vomit out into the street. And they were like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm good. And I proceeded to go into the alley and order drinks. I was like, I'm fine. I just was hungover. I was not. I was very pregnant.
I remember when we went to Seattle for my birthday.
You threw up in the middle of
the street.
Yep,
just walking.
There was this gay couple walking by, and they looked at Devon, and they're like, oh, they looked at me, and they're like, I like your hair.
Yeah. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Yo, the gays.
It came for me, and I wanted to be like, I'm not hungover, I'm pregnant.
They looked at you like you had the blade.
Yeah.
They would rather you be hungover than call in. They're like, they're not headed to the breeder. We do have one of the good ones in the house today, but a lot of them are like, oh, breeder.
I don't like the breeder.
Such a dehumanizing term. Hey, someone has to make more humans, you know?
They're only honest. Yeah.
Someone has to.
Someone got to do that labor.
Yeah.
Not me, but somebody got to do that labor.
Well, you know what else I also heard? And this hasn't happened, but people were like, don't let the cat around your baby. It'll suck its breath out, you know?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of stuff with the
cats. People believe that.
What is the Spelman witch trial?
People believe that, like, if you let, like, the cat get close to the baby, they'll suck the air out of the baby.
You just walk in the room and look.
Not at all.
Yo, that fight that would happen afterwards would be,
I mean, that would happen. Yes.
legendary. Yes.
But that was weird. I'm like, no, that doesn't, that's not a real thing. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
Are there any things that you wish you would have liked to have known?
Oh God, yes.
So many.
I mean, I thought breastfeeding was this like really organic, like magical thing that you just do because you have this body and this connection and this like, and it's like I also kind of appreciate that people didn't bust my bubble, you know, because I actually think that, you know, pregnancy is already hard in some way.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, but at the same time, it's like as soon as you go through this portal and you're on the other side, then people are like, now that you've already like signed the contract and you're already here.
Yeah.
Then they're suddenly like, how's the breastfeeding going?
Buckle,
you doing okay? And it's like this whole thing, and like I spent so many hours in the lactation consultation rooms.
Yep.
I went through this really hardcore process where I had to wake up my baby because he didn't feel hungry. And he was born a little early, and he didn't feel hungry. Now he feels very hungry.
He just walked over here like, feed me now.
As I said that, he like opened his mouth and was like, I'm demanding I put another like a 20th dumpling in his mouth. So he's really tall. He's doing great. But when he was born, he was losing weight. He wasn't hungry. And we were just going through this process of like latching, you know, the latching and then like the amount of milk production. And like, it was so overwhelming that I had to basically, to get to a place where he was getting milk and my body was producing it and he was having it, and I had to start a process every 3 hours. So if the process got done in 45 minutes, that rest of the time I could rest.
Yeah.
If the process took an hour and a half, the hour and a half that was left is what I got to rest.
Yeah.
And the process had to start every 3 hours, around the clock, 24 hours.
From when they start, bro.
And
no one tells you that.
And that shit happened for a whole month or two. I don't know how long it was.
Yeah.
It was, I broke, my whole body broke out into hives.
Yeah.
At some point I was like, okay, I'm going to keep it at like 80%, you know. He's gonna have a bottle too.
I mean, I feel like that makes some things that my mom told me about me and my brother. My mom was like, as soon as I could get y'all on formula, y'all went on formula. She's like, I did my part. I had y'all naturally. The rest is on you. I was like, she's like, all that you have to go through.
I was that person that texted Devanya after she went through the portal, and I was like, Devanya, how's it going? And she was like, horrible.
I sent like 6 pages back as an answer. Yeah, I mean, that's my main answer to that. Breastfeeding is way more difficult than you, and it hurts and all of that. Like, you know, and it's funny because they're like, it shouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. It doesn't matter if you've got the perfect latch. Like, it's still, like, you can imagine an iron clamp covered in sandpaper with drool on it that's warm. That's like clamping and sucking your nipple. That's what that feels like. Like,
good sound effects.
That is what it feels like for hours. For hours and hours. And you're literally like, I'm about to cut these fucking tits off. Like, I don't want them. Stupid, and they're terrible. Like,
but I wished I wouldn't care. But I cared.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
even now, I mean, you know, I was really panicking in the beginning because nothing, like, I just felt like I wasn't producing enough. And then, like, it was like a switch came on my boobs. Like, all right, we'll do something. Now, I actually overproduce, which is nice. But me and her, meaning my baby, we never got to the place where she fully completes off of my breast. So I'm still, like, breastfeeding and pumping. And that'll just be the journey until, like, we're done.
I mean, this really affirms the labor that wet nurses provided.
Oh, God.
When you say you're done, when we're done, you mean, like, when she's, like, on her SAT test?
Man, I wish that girl would call me. Mom, you know, I'm in the middle of my sack. Can you come, girl? You'll take the city out your mouth. Get away from me.
It's time to pop the city out your mouth.
Have a sandwich. Get out of here. She's one of those babies that gets distracted. And I think she was always like,
your child gets distracted? Stop it. No.
But it's so funny. It's like, people, you know, they breastfeed in public and all of that. I don't think I could ever do that because, like, the amount of raw titty that would get exposed constantly would be constant, bro. It would be intense.
I mean, because she pops off all the time, and then she still wants a bottle. So, I mean, I'm like, right now, we're done.
I've seen you in your home fighting.
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 We are.
You were fighting there.
I'm like, please.
Sitting there just holding your titty, trying to
shrug. She's like,
no. It was an epic fight.
Yeah, we still fight.
I've never seen a titty just look like so much of an object.
Yeah,
it was just like a little.
It's just milk is spraying everywhere because again I overproduce. I'm like, what are you complaining about? Please help me. And she, I've never seen someone eat so angrily in my entire life, except for my baby.
You are exceptionally good at pumping in public.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's fast. I'm quick.
Man, we have been in the middle of movie theaters.
We have been in the middle of restaurants.
Yep.
And then all here is the little suction noise.
Yes.
He has already popped the little cups on.
Yeah, man.
But yeah. Tanya, can we talk about pumping? Because, oh my gosh.
That too also makes me, so it's really weird. Something that people didn't tell me, and I don't think it's common, but